Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tuesday Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning.
I think we're on. I'm not really sure. There's lots happening here. There's a little weekday rave going on this morning. All right.
Good morning, Bill. How are you? Good. A packed house today.
We do have a packed house today.
It's a party!
Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid.
Ow! And some new funky music we stole from the British girls off the airwaves. We love it! And we don't care! Do we have to pay a royalty? Oh, that would be a literal royalty, huh? They're British? I don't know. Anyway, speaking of Britain, the baby born?
They want another queen.
Oh, it's a good thing. They should have another queen. Nothing will go wrong ever again.
Aww.
Well, and you know what I heard? It's kind of true. This is, and sorry, the song stopped abruptly. Now you get the studio live at Studio C. What did we hear? It doesn't matter if you're a boy born into royalty. You just get your title. You get your crown.
Uh-huh. Good.
It doesn't matter. So that's why they're not. They want a queen
because
they know chicks rule. Woo!
Woo-hoo!
All right. We'll have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large. All right. We have a very fun special show today. Mr. Doug Fine is going to be on air with us. So you can call 646-915-8421 and chat with Doug Fresh. Or you can email thctucson@gmail.com if you want to ask a secret, quiet question. And if you're daring enough to blog, do it. Go to blogtalkradio.com/WeedsDayWednesday. Log in. Takes 2 seconds. You all know how to do it now. And get on there and blog. Make up a fun name and chat with us. What's going on, Cannabis Kid? What's happening in the world?
Well, actually, let me pull that up.
Articles. This one's been on vacation, so we've had plenty of time to read articles.
a little bit behind on stuff, but...
But you're awake.
But I am awake.
Well, we'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, while the Cannabis Kid wakes up here, for hosting this incredibly fun and informative show every Wednesday morning. At Tumbleweeds, you will find certifications for $99. Classes, lectures, demonstration. In a couple weeks, we got Holy Smokes coming in to do another demonstration and sampling. Come get your samples of organic vaping tonics. Lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things medical cannabis. TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com if you're in Tucson, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. And come down to Tumbleweeds to sign the petition to legalize marijuana. Let's do it.
Woo!
Let's get this over with. Program. Get us in a program. We're asking for one now.
Well,
finally, the citizens are asking for uniformity and organization and some sort of regulate. Like, get us on a schedule.
Yeah.
We're too wild and crazy kids.
Give us
man.
Rules. We'll
yeah.
follow them.
Do what rules we want. That's the key. Give us the rules we want. Thank you, Growers House at 227 East Valencia, for always providing awesome hydroponic equipment at the best prices in Tucson and online. Check them out, growershouse.com, or come see them. Come go to Tucson and check them out, and they will teach you how to grow. Great guys over there. Paul and Nate, father-son team, and some groovy dudes helping them out.
Give you tips and information on if you're a first-time grower, if you've done this before.
Or if you know everything.
I mean, they definitely have some tips for you.
They might be able to tell you.
Turn your grub. Thumb green.
That's right. All of them. All of them. Your thumbs are going to be green. Never mind.
10 thumbs?
Yep.
Really?
I have
2
10.
Thumbs.
Nope. I've got 10 green thumbs. I don't know about you guys. AZ Med Test. Thank you for testing our meds to make sure there's no yuckies in there, say it, no contaminants.
Actually,
I don't know that they can test, well, maybe someday they're going to
test
for
toxins.
Chemicals.
Is what it says on their
text
for toxins.
fungi. So are those all three?
Would be chemical.
All right, you chemical laters out there. Mm-hmm. Get them out of our meds. We don't accept them. I wonder what they've found so far.
Yeah, I think the
AdvMedTest.com. We'll have them on again. Had them on last year. We'll have them on again. Also, from the Weed Center, Watermelon Girl has sent us some recipe cards that you do not want to miss. Thank you, Watermelon Girl, for listening. Woohoo! We were trying to get one of the pin-up calendars, but this just might be better. I don't know. Recipe cards. There's rum resin balls. We've got some baked brownies. What else? And two more that you'll have to come down to Tumbleweed to see. So we'll make a copy of the recipe for you, and we'll keep the original cards with beautiful photos. And we'll post them on our website so you can check them all out. We've got $50 Fridays going on at Tumbleweed Health Center. Come down for $50 memberships. We might extend that through August if we're feeling kind of groovy. Who knows? People are liking that. They're finally catching on after a month and a half, so we might extend that a little bit. And we've got Doug Fine coming on in just a moment, author of Farewell My Subaru and Too High to Fail. Amen. Amen to that. And call in to talk to Dougie. 646-915-8421. You can check his website out. I actually posted it in our blog. It's DougFine.com. But what do you think? Should we see it on air?
I think we should.
All right, let's see. We've got a serial number here. I don't know if it's his. We check. See if we've got Doug live. Hello, you're on air. No?
No.
And we've got feedback. So that wasn't Doug. All right. I think maybe this next one might be Doug. That was me asking me if I was here. I'm here. Good morning. Is this Doggy Fresh?
Hey, Bell Stars, friends, it's Doug. How's it going?
Doug is in the house. How are you?
Oh, it's another beautiful morning in paradise in the land of enchantment. You guys are neighbors, you know. I'm going to be seeing you all.
Yeah, very soon. We're a little discombobulated because not sitting on the couch eating Chinese food with us. We don't really know what to do, so...
Yeah, it's not the same as when we're doing in-studio interviews because we have a system dialed in surrounding extreme munchie satisfaction. However, the reason for that is I'll be there tomorrow. It's just a little jaunt over your way, a couple of hours by vegetable oil power, and everybody hopefully will be joining us tomorrow in Tumbleweeds. What, 5 p.m., right, for the big slideshow journey surrounding 2 out of L.
Yes, and we got a projector. Woo-hoo! We're set. So do you really run on vegetable oil all the way over here?
Across this?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Tell us about that, Doug. People don't know about that. They need to hear this.
Well, okay, so before I started, right, well, first of all, let me just back up and say how proud I am of you guys, Bellstar and crew, and everything that's going on in Tucson, because between your show, Tumbleweeds, all the great things, it's like, this industry, we're talking about cannabis industry, helping people and freeing a plant that humans have used for thousands of years, except for the stupid last 70 years, is a brave thing and an important thing, and it's so amazing, not to just see it happening in Arizona, but to see a supposed conservative state supporting it so much. About 56% of Arizonans in a recent poll supporting ending the war on cannabis entirely and regulating it like something like alcohol, and so... for you guys to be there, most businesses, most endeavors in this world don't last 1 year. How long has this radio show been going on? How long has Tumbleweeds been going on already?
Tumbleweeds is almost 2 years old. We'll be 2 in November. Yay! Over a year already with the radio show. We're almost a year and a half with the radio show.
So congratulations to that. Now, to answer your question, so before I started writing about drug policy, I wrote a book called Farewell My Subaru, and it was about just seeing if there was a way that a regular person that wasn't, you know, hardcore Grizzly Adams could basically give up petroleum, and I found that it's pretty easy. I mean, if you read the book, you know that it's funny. I had what I call carbon-neutral misadventures at first, but you know, it's not that big a deal. Diesel-powered engine runs on vegetable oil. That's why it was invented. Rudolf Diesel wanted farmers to grow their own fuel and not be dependent on petroleum. And, you know, I run my goat ranch on solar panels and all that jazz. But when I decided to write about drug policy, and the reason why I did, the reason why I wrote the book that became Too High to Fail, is my neighbor, who was like a retiree AARP member, got traded for like a dozen plants, and he was totally just minding his own business, self-medicating. Today, with New Mexico's medical program, he wouldn't even have been doing anything illegal, but instead, there's helicopters and automatic weapons in my creek bed. I thought I was in trouble for some petition I had signed against fracking, and this poor guy gets nailed for nothing, basically. So I realized I had to write a book about it, and what I'll be talking about at Tumbleweeds tomorrow, Thursday, at 5 p.m., is the journey of one legal cannabis plant from farm to patient, organically grown outdoors in Northern California, where the government decided to just end the drug war and permit its farmers. And so it's kind of a funny slideshow about how it will work when the drug war ends and how good that is for America. And I say that as a patriot and as a father.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. That's incredible. I was actually watching your interview with Conan O'Brien last night. People should tune into Doug's website at doug.com and check it out. He's got some great videos, awesome information. Doug, I'm going to just segue for a second. Did you have a third book, my friend?
Say that one more time. Did you say, do I have a third book?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, the line was breaking up a little bit. Yeah, my first book was called Not Really an Alaskan Mountain Man, and it's kind of what the title implies. I grew up in the suburbs of New York and then plunked myself down in extreme rural Alaska, much to the amusement of the locals, and barely survived for a couple of years, and that's what that book is about.
Awesome. All right. I wanted to give everyone the full view here. That's fine. So Michael Bowman just sent a hemp flag to our nation's capital. You're a good friend of Michael Bowman. How do you think that's going to impact? And why would they do that if they weren't so in support of all this? It's a crazy, you know, situation we have here where D.C. has their own medical program, they've got their own dispensaries, they're flying hemp flags, yet they're busting people all over the nation. What's up with that?
Well, one of the really interesting things, you know, I've turned into basically a full-time cannabis journalist, right? And one of the really interesting things about covering the drug policy is I really learned a lot about how wars fought, any kind of war. War on drugs is America's longest war. It's 40 years long, 10 times longer than World War II. It costs us as taxpayers $40 billion a year for nothing. All it does is enrich cartels and, you know, fund a bureaucracy that puts kids in jail and seizes like 1% basically of what is considered contraband. And so, you know, watching this war, I realized that the reason we, the American people, are winning is because we're fighting on every front. There's awesome people like Bellstar and crew speaking the truth here in Arizona. There's people like Michael Bowman working hard to lobby to get a hemp flag flown over the Capitol. And all of it is resulting in the truth coming out and the drug war falling apart. It's going to be over with a couple of years. Cannabis, as it should be, will be removed from the Controlled Substances Act entirely, so states can regulate it like alcohol. That's fine. You know, Utah will have different cannabis laws than Nevada or Arizona or California. That's fine. But that's what needs to happen. And we're winning because of all the different fronts. So to get back to what Michael Bowman is doing, he's really a politico. He's really involved in the political process. And you can't smear him with any kind of, like, hippie tie-dye stuff. He's a fifth-generation Eastern Colorado rancher. That's like God's country out there near Kansas, you know what I mean? So he's a very kind of presentable guy who goes into Congress.
Yeah.
He worked with Jared Polis, the Colorado congressman, and Congress people are always hoisting flags over the Capitol. It's kind of like this favor that they do constituents. People can go in and say, oh, my cousin was wounded in Iraq. Can we hoist a flag for him? And they fly like 47 flags a day over the Capitol for reasons like this. And Bowman convinced Representative Polis to hoist a hemp flag, which, of course, Betsy Ross's original flag was a hemp flag way back when in colonial times. And so that flew on July 4th, and on that July 4th, I was with Michael in Colorado as he was planting hemp in Colorado, as allowed by Colorado state law. So the bottom line is all of these battles, all of these little battles all over the place are causing the drug warriors who are not on the side of right, they're not on the side of good, they're not on the side of America, they're just spending money that we pay until the laws change. They're fleeing everywhere. They're losing everywhere. They're losing in Illinois. They're losing in Missouri. They're losing in Kentucky. They're losing in Hawaii. And thanks to you guys, they're losing in Arizona. Every single battle matters. This is what I've really learned about any war, that if you're going to win, you have to have the hearts and minds of the people, and you have to win on every front. Because they can't assume that they have a kind of red state like Arizona won, because they don't. You guys have it won in Arizona.
Right, absolutely. That's absolutely right.
Hey, Doug, you were talking about how Michael Bowman's trying to get off the controlled substance list. How do we go about doing something like that, from taking it from the controlled substance, being it as a level one right now, taking it to where it's not on even on a level, or moving its levels? Or
do you really think that's going to happen in the next couple years? Because that may be really exciting for today.
It's going to happen. It's already happening with hemp. So twice in the last 2 weeks, U.S. House of Representatives. This is for anyone listening out there who said, oh, Congress never gets it, the feds are never going to change. They already have changed. Just last week, the U.S. House of Representatives, your Congress, my Congress, voted to legalize hemp. It's in the Farm Bill. Now, it has to get in the Senate version, and then it has to be signed by the president, but I deeply believe that it will be. Meaning this year, right now, this farm bill, hemp is going to be legalized. Boom. Did you ever think you'd see that? So, yeah, within the next couple of years, the next step is going to be obvious. It's pretty simple. Congress can do this very, very easily without kind of the blowback. You know, no one wants to run against someone in the primary who can do a commercial that says, Joe Smith legalized drugs, blah, blah, blah. But they don't have to worry about that. Because all they have to do is say, states can decide what to do about cannabis. That's easy. Every politician wants to shrink the federal government and let states' rights. Well, here you go, states' rights. And I do think we're going to see that on the next couple of years.
So do you think our government will in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years roll out a prohibition like, you know, program for cannabis as well? I mean, are they going to let the states do all what we want to do?
I do think so, yeah, definitely. And the main reason for that is that the people want it. The polls are unbelievable now. 80%, when do 80% of Americans agree about anything? 80% of Americans agree the drug war is a failure. 63% of Illinoisans want to end it. 56% of Kentuckians and 56% of Arizonans want to end it. They hear this. They know this. They saw the Colorado and Washington legalization elections, and if you read deeper into that book, it was really eye-opening for Democrats and Republicans. 40% of Republicans voted
in what
to legalize
way?
In Colorado in 2012. Can you hear me? Hello?
Wow. 40%. Wow.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I think there's just a couple of seconds of delay. And then the other thing I wanted to say is on the Democratic side, ever since the 18-year-olds got the right to vote in 1972, Democrats have been rubbing their palms together going, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. Young people are more progressive. That's going to be great for Democrats. But there's never been a relevant issue that has gotten 18-year-olds to come out and vote until now. In Colorado in 2012, youth vote was up 12% over the 2008 Yes, We Can election. So the Democrats and Republicans both get it. And if you don't believe it, here's two pieces of evidence. The Republican Party of California is now debating changing its drug policy platform to advocate states' rights. And President Obama, in his first election after the 2012 first interview after the 2012 election, told Barbara Walters that he's not going to mess with states that change cannabis law. So they hear and they're listening, and it's because the people have spoken.
Wow.
Awesome. That is awesome.
It's good to hear that something like that, that, you know, it's, I mean, I know we've been fighting for it for a while, but it seems like just in the last few, like in the last year, things have happened so much faster than they usually did. Like the lag period, there's no lag period. It's like 1 week is something happening. Like, I didn't even know about the hemp legalization in the House of Representatives. I didn't even know that was happening. Of course, I've been gone, but that just happened a couple weeks ago.
We'll let that slide, Candace. We might not change anything.
It's just nice to see this happening
so
fast.
What about New Mexico? How did you end up in the land of Chan? When are they legalized?
Sorry, we were breaking up there at the end there. You said, what about New Mexico, and then what was the second part of the question?
How did you end up there, and when will they legalize it?
Good questions. By the way, on the issue of how fast things are happening, yeah, you know, the concept is called the tipping point, and it's like a kind of a law of physics that it seems like nothing is happening, 0% support, 0% support, Congress, then all of a sudden everything happens. The same thing happened with alcohol prohibition, that no one was brave enough to come forward and try to end it until 27 states unilaterally changed their alcohol laws, and then all of a sudden everybody jumped into the water at the same time. That's the same thing. We've got truth on our side. We've got the people on our side, and now we've hit the tipping point. Everything is happening so fast now. That's why I think we'll see it within a couple of years, because there's almost no opposition to ending the drug war at this point. Old people, young people, Democrats, Republicans. I bet Tumbleweeds has plenty of senior citizen Republicans that come in and are members of Tumbleweeds.
Yep, and they're all signing the petition to legalize cannabis in Arizona next year. You betcha.
Answer the question about New Mexico. Like Arizona, we're culturally very the same, New Mexico and Arizona, and there's a long cultural tradition of cannabis in the culture. I did a column recently about a woman whose mother, whose grandmother, rather, was an herbalist in Mexico, just south of today's border, and taught her all the cannabis tinctures and remedies that were traditionally used in the region. Ranchers would come from hours and hours on horseback to get her treatment. And she didn't just use cannabis. Let's not forget, herbalism is all herbs. It's just that cannabis is an important one that's been taken away recently. So there's long tradition culturally in Arizona and Mexico of cannabis being important for health maintenance as well as acute medicinal use, spiritual use, and social use. So New Mexicans use cannabis widely, and the proof of this is one of the operators in New Mexico who would be a good guest here on the show, Bellstar, someday. His name is Len Goodman, and he runs a provider, a dispensary out of Santa Fe called Mexican, like C-A-N-N, for cannabis. And he says that his orders drop by half during traditional harvest time in October and November, because everybody's got a few plants in their garden and they don't need to go to the dispensary that month. So New Mexico is chugging along with decriminalizing, blah, 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 and it's not a leadership state in this area, although when Gary Johnson was governor, he tried. He was just ahead of his time. He tried to legalize all drugs in New Mexico back in the 80s. But it's not a leadership state. It's doing a kind of watch and look, as so many states are. So it's going to be in that – New Mexico is going to be in that second wave of states, in that 2016-2018 kind of legalization. There's other states that are going to bring about the tipping point faster. States that I think are going to legalize very soon are – and some of them are very surprising states. Ones that are not surprising include Oregon, California, Hawaii will join Colorado and Washington soon. But in that next wave after that, I think we'll see Missouri, Arizona, New Mexico. Florida is polling pretty good. Ohio. So there's just about no place that I think I'm worried about. We're winning everywhere. I wish my state was a little bit more of a leader, and I wish I didn't live five hours from the Capitol. Otherwise, I'd be in Santa Fe all the time lobbying for this. But the Drug Policy Alliance is doing pretty good job, and they're setting the stage to make sure New Mexico gets on the bus. As for what people can do in Arizona and elsewhere to help bring about the end of federal prohibition, it's simply get phone trees together, get organized, and stay on your representatives over and over and over call them and lean on them and tell them that you're voting on this, that you believe it's an important patriotic issue. Stop funding border violence. Stop funding criminal cartels that wreak havoc on public safety in Arizona. It's just a dang plant. And the war on cannabis, remove it from the Controlled Substances Act. So that's what you can do, is really just stay on your congresspeople and your two senators. Don't think just because they're Republicans that your senators aren't going to listen, because even Mitch McConnell, the Republican Senate minority leader, has come on board for legalization. And that's because the Kentucky cannabis farmers want him to, and he's been pressured. But he's fully on board. So Republicans are not off limits on this. Call him and play the call McCain and that other guy and play the Patriots card. And of course you've got a good Democratic representative on Tucson, so Tucson area, so stay on him as well.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised at the amount of Republicans that actually are for this. You're never going to know, but if you do, you stay on them, and that's a great thing to do. In fact, you can go to Normal's website, I believe, norml.org, and type in your zip code, and it'll tell you your representative and how to contact them. And you should. You should be writing letters. Write a hand letter. Take 2 minutes and write something by hand. Get your big pen out and your stationery that you used to use. And write a letter by hand. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you get up to Santa Fe to go rally for this?
I'm up to Santa Fe pretty recently. I just did a live events in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. And since I'm covering for a hemp book that I'm writing, my next book is printed on hemp paper. It comes out next February. I'd love to come to Tumbleweeds and do another event for that. So I'm researching that now, which includes following planting in Colorado. So that involves going through Santa Fe and Albuquerque. So I'm through there pretty often as a guy can when he has two little kids and, you know, goats to milk.
Yes, that's a lot. You actually put in our order for 100,000 copies of your next hemp book, so your publisher would do it.
Yeah, thanks everybody for their support. And so that book is about industrial cannabis, but I'm going to be talking about psychoactive cannabis. And you know, Bill, so one thing that's important, I think, is in this debate, we talk about medical versus social. And you'll notice that I choose my words carefully. I keep saying cannabis. I don't say marijuana. It was originally a pejorative term. It was used to insult Latinos in Arizona. Did you know that? That's when it first started to be called marijuana. And I don't really have a problem with the term. But cannabis, I think, I also don't ever say recreational, because we don't go to a wine bar with a friend and say, let's have a recreational glass of what? We just have a glass of wine. And so
I'm going to try it next time and see if I get a different kind.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I say social, and there's another aspect that's not really talked about, and that is health maintenance. Because it's an herb that's been used, let's say, in all herbalism, but let's say Chinese medicine at least for thousands of years, it's thousands of year old medical handbook from China. We think about medical use and social use and spiritual use, certainly, but we don't think about it in terms of health maintenance. It's an herb, so for some people, it's going to be very effective to use it once a year if they need it for a headache. For some people, it's going to be used for every day for 2 months, going through a real intense period of PTSD after military service, or after a divorce or something like that, where they're feeling depressed, right? And for some people, it's like their morning coffee. They'll eat a little bit of a cannabis-infused tincture or take a puff of a vaporizer and go for their morning run. That's what Bob Marley did. However your body works well with this plant, you should be able to use it. So that's why I think health maintenance should be thrown into the – we talk about social, spiritual, medical, acute medical use, reversing tumors, giving cancer patients their appetite, helping older folks with their arthritis or their glaucoma. But what about for a young, healthy person? I think health maintenance is a good use of cannabis.
And preventative medicine. That's what our country needs more of, is preventative medicines and more health maintenance than, oh, my God, I have an emergency. I have to use the strongest dose right now, you know? So let's get our bodies healthy, our minds healthy, our spirits healthy, and let's support our endocannabinoid system now.
And cannabis has already shown that it's a great stress reliever, and who doesn't have stress? You know what I mean? You come home after work, and you either smoke a bowl or vaporize or have a brownie or do a couple drops of tincture in your water, tea, or whatever. But it's more of like you come home, you kind of leave your worries at the door and kind of relax and kind of forget some of the things that maybe happened that day, or kind of maybe look at what happened during the day that you did like and kind of concentrate on that. And
well,
it kind of gives you that choice to do that.
And balance it with other things like exercise
right.
and eating right
mm-hmm.
and communication and all your spirituality. And, you know, it's a balance. And cannabis is used as a part of that.
Very, very good points by both of you. Although I should say, who doesn't have stress? I think my dog does not have stress. I think that golden retrievers in particular might have a very active self-producing endocannabinoid system, because my golden retriever, I mean, she fell out of a riverboat recently and just kind of like relaxed, you know, paddle along the side of the boat. So other than that, everybody else has stress.
Hey, are your goats medically maintained with cannabis?
Let's see. I will answer that question a particular way, since we're on the record and federal law is the way it is. I can give you a totally truthful answer. Yes, hemp oil, non-psychoactive hemp oil that you can get in your supermarket, is part of my entire family's health regimen. We put that into our health shakes, and actually we used it successfully on an abscess, an infection that one of my goats had. So, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great idea. That's fantastic.
Hey, Doug, I just actually picked up some hemp oil, and just because I've been hearing a lot about it. What are some of the benefits from the hemp oil?
There's all different kinds of benefits. I'll list a bunch of them. Now, if we're talking about right now non-psychoactive hemp oil, in other words, it comes from industrial cannabis plant, not the psychoactive plant, and I'll get to this psychoactive hemp oil in a moment. But for the stuff that you can today legally get, but not yet legally grow for a few more weeks until the Farm Bill passes, let us hope that the Senate will come on board as the House has and that we will have legalized hemp growing in this country on the federal level. We already have it legalized in quite a number of states. The stuff we can get now, it mostly comes from Canada. We give $500 million to Canada every year for their hemp seed oil. And for my hemp book, I visited fields and the crops. They can't keep up with it. It's growing 30% a year. Why? To answer your question, what benefits? It's omega balanced. Omega fatty acids are very, very important for our health, preventing bad cholesterol buildup, preventing diabetes, just basically health maintenance. Similar to flax oil, fish oil, hemp oil is also great, great, great in that regard. So that's why you put a tablespoon or two of it in your shake.
Hey, Doug, we had a patient say that they wanted some of your goat cheese. can you bring that with you, please? Get a little dry ice. Bring us some goat cheese, please.
But I have to tell you something. There's a little bit of a sad story associated with this. As of 2 weeks ago, my answer to that would be, of course, are you kidding? You know, I hope that folks are going to rally and we're going to have, like, you know, hundreds of people at our event tomorrow, Thursday, July 18th at 5 p.m. at Tumbleweeds, because
that's
it's a really fun talk and slideshow. And I hope that there are going to be hundreds of people there, and that if I would be able to bring goat cheese, it would be like a teaspoon each. But this is a little bit of a sad story. We have a 130,000-acre wildfire right outside the back door of our ranch a couple weeks ago. There's good news associated with that, in that monsoon rains come and put out the fire, but it caused a bear to lose its mind, black bear. I've lived 7 years. Yeah, and so it was a refugee, and nobody be mad at this bear, okay, because it was just freaked out. But it came scampering into my ranch one morning, topped the fence, and basically killed all my milk goats like a week and a half ago.
Because it was all freaked out because of the fire?
It's cold. Yeah. There is a bright side. First of all, the baby goat that was just weaned, because we had this new milk goat that had just weaned her baby. So we had this great milk goat named, all my goats are named after singers that have goat-like voices. So this was, Beth Midler was our milking goat, and she got killed. But her daughter, Taylor Swift, survived. Taylor Swift lives with us in the house now, and she's house trained. And then another bright side of all this that our neighbors have just come through. Our rancher neighbors have offered us their milking goats, so we're going to have another week or so we're going to have milking goats. So I promise this, guys, although I probably can't bring a lot of cheese this time, I promise next visit to Tumbleweeds in February for the hemp book, I will bring goat cheese.
Oh, yay. And can we talk a little bit about your upcoming book? I mean, can you, like, read a little bit from Too High to Fail and then give us a sneak preview of what's coming up? Because you're talking about the psychoactive effect now, aren't you?
That is right. Tomorrow, Thursday, and Tumbleweeds on 5 p.m., I'll be talking about Too High to Fail, which concerns a flower that was developed by a local developer, not by a Monsanto gene slicer, but a second-generation farmer in his barn who crossed a number of strains because what he wanted was to provide an indica/kush strain of cannabis that would provide the kind of body pain spasmodicity relief that indica versions of the plants are known for, but without what he called the couch lock, the kind of zonky, hard-to-move-around issue. Now, some people want the couch lock. If you're a war veteran who is injured and is in a lot of pain, or you have arthritis or something that is keeping you from sleeping, you want to eat a cannabis lozenge or vaporize at 10 p.m. and be asleep at 10:15 and not know anything a.m. That's why some people want cannabis, is to get zonked out. But for those who don't, let's say a pilot, surgeon, people that need to be functional, we don't want them on pharmaceuticals that are going to be unpredictable. We want them to be able to use a safe ancient herb without getting punked out. So this geneticist in his barn in Mendocino County developed this strain, and I followed it, one of the plants of the strain called Cashmere Kush, from farm to patient, and on a farm that was permitted by the local sheriff. And I show in this talk, in the slideshow, that I'll be giving tomorrow at Tumbleweed, I show how the whole community came on board, reduced crime, developed a sustainable growing method, and basically completely developed a successful program that the whole country can use as a model. They just said no to the drug war. They legalized their local $6 billion crop, and that's what I'll be talking about. And I will right now read you a passage from Too High to Fail. Give me a second while I find it. And here's what happened. Mendocino County has declared the drug peace. I mean, this is a progressive place that's banned genetically modified foods of any kind in the county. You know, if it were any more progressive, it would be clothing optional in the supermarket. You know what I mean? And so Mendocino is totally cool. So but what happens is the narco squads in the other counties profile vehicles coming out of the count out of Mendocino and the other Emerald Triangle counties, as they call them up there in Northern California, and they pull people over with claims that they smell cannabis in their truck. And much of the time, they're correct. It is the number one industry by far. It's America's number one cash crop. But I myself got profiled when I was leaving Mendocino County to go to Oakland Airport to go to a speaking event that I was doing. And I was told falsely by the Sonoma County Narcotics Squad that my vehicle smelled like cannabis. And I've never had this happen before. I'm a law-abiding patriot, right? There was no cannabis in my vehicle, but they spent 20 minutes pilfering through my kids' car seats, costing taxpayers thousands of dollars, and they were looking, I found out later, for like 100 pounds or something like that. I was like afraid some hitchhiker dropped a joint or something, you know what I mean? And they would have just tossed that away. They were looking for the producers that transport to dispensaries in the Bay Area and LA and stuff like that. And so I was totally profiled, and it was an example of how wrong the drug war is, because these are generally nice guys, cops doing their job, but their job needs to not be cannabis interdiction. So the really funny part that I want to read to you is when I went back to Mendocino County after this incident and whined about it to my, by the way, I got let go immediately as I told them I was writing a book and I wanted to come on a ride-along with them to see how the drug war is being fought and how taxpayer money is being spent. And they were like, oh, have a nice day. See you later. And by the way, one of those guys on the narco squad has since left narcotics enforcement. He didn't say why, but I think quite a lot of law enforcers, including the 5,000 members of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP, a really cool group. If you haven't already, you should definitely have those guys on your show, Bellstar. And they'll be happy to if you go to their website. They always have cops that are awesome. You guys are awesome. anyway, I'm sorry I'm rambling, but so here's the passage of what happened when I went back to Mendocino. I thought I was going to complain to these farmers that I got profiled up in Mendo and have them tell me a good name of a civil rights lawyer. But here's what they did instead, and give me a minute here to find the right passage.
All right. DougFine.com, if you all bloggers want to check it out right now. Lots of great videos, books, articles, and cute pictures of goats. Guaranteed. Taylor
with bow ties.
Yeah, with bow ties. Taylor Swift is house trained. You can see her at DougFine.com.
Come to Tumbleweeds tomorrow, Thursday, 5:18, 5 p.m. I like it better when there's really big crowds. It makes me feel like a best-selling author.
Oh, well, we'll make you feel like that even if it's just us, but it won't be. There's thousands expected to come. Don't you worry.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for being so wonderful to me.
You're wonderful to the world of cannabis consumers, as Cheryl Schumann put when she was on The View the other day with Barbara Wawa. We really appreciate your incredible efforts to help the planet see a better way like they did before, and we can't tell you how grateful we are that you risk your livelihood, your family's livelihood, and we all do, but you're out there on the forefront, cruising around this country telling people that, you know, they need to accept this, and that's a lot. And we thank you, Dougie Fine.
Wow. Thank you. And I found the passage, but thank you so much for that, Bellstar and everyone. And I have to say, though, that compared to the risk you guys are taking, I mean, I don't think I'm taking any risk, because honestly, all I'm doing is, what are they going to arrest me for? Words? You know what I mean? I'm not cultivating. I'm not distributing. So there's really not much that I feel like I'm risking. But, you know, I guess it's a little risky to speak the truth. Okay, here you go. You ready? So,
after
this incident in Sonoma County, I go back up to Mendocino County and I talk to Matt Cohen. The program in Mendocino that I followed in the book and that I'll be talking about tomorrow night is called the Zip Tie Program, because the sheriff decided that he was going to put these bracelets on, yellow bright blade bracelets on 99 plants per farm to honor the 100 plant federal sentencing minimum, and allow farmers to pay the county a permitting fee so that they wouldn't get arrested, and they could thrive in the county. No helicopters, at least no state and local helicopters, would land on their crop and violate their own ability to make a living and supply patients with medicine. And by the way, organically grown outdoor medicine was mandated by the Zip Tie program. So I leave Mendocino, I have this problem in Sonoma, I come back and I start complaining about it to Matt Cohen, one of the Zip Tie farmers. I got an unexpected response upon telling Cohen of my recent adventures with the Sonoma County Sheriff's Department. Cohen's response there was to blink. He kept blinking when I told him part of the story where I found myself sitting in Deputy Londo's car wondering if Sonoma County jails permit conjugal visits. If they're going to lie about smelling cannabis, what else would they lie about? I invade with profound self-pity. When I finished, Cohen blinked three more times, I think it was, before he noticed that I seemed to expect some kind of reaction along the lines of, holy shit, how much in civil rights damages are you suing for? Instead, he checked that he didn't have to take an incoming cell phone call and then said evenly, dude, you're bumping in a big rambling truck across the Sonoma line. Let me guess, Bob Marley's blasting out of the speakers? It was Steel Pulse, I corrected defensively, and my tires aren't as knobby or jacked up as you generally see around here. I had already noticed that the perpetual monster truck show that passes for normal traffic in the Mendocino Hills. Of course you got profiles, Clint continued, undeterred. Ever take a gander at yourself? You look like just another grower. I've got two delivery guys facing felony charges for running that stretch of the gauntlet right now, he shrugged. Cost of doing business. The gauntlet, I asked? Highway 101 from Sonoma County line to the Bay Area when you're not in Kansas anymore. I suppose it was true. I had the same scruffy beard, the same muddy Carhartts, the same vaguely goat-like smell as most Mendocino cannabis farmers, even though I wasn't one. There were three other trucks from my same model year in the parking lot with me right then. Granted, on my own Funky View Ranch back in Mexico, I grew tomatoes and raised goats, not a however ridiculously classified federal class Schedule 1 controlled substance. But Cohen's point was that Sonoma County's narcotics squad didn't so much pinpoint that I'd gone native as that I've already arrived native. Your veggie oil exhaust probably gave him the munchies, Cohen suggested waggishly while I was thinking this all over. So the bottom line is what Cohen was saying was anybody who drives out of Mendocino County while being relatively young, wearing a beard, and driving a truck is going to get profiled. It's the same thing as the minority youth targeting scandal that's going on in many big cities where police departments get more drug money by just churning out the arrest numbers for minor cannabis possession. It was the same deal on what they call the gauntlet. It's like the wildebeest, in the old National Geographic specials, right? You got the 50,000 wildebeest that are trying to cross the stream, and there's 9 crocodiles in there, right? And so statistically, all 50,000 wildebeest are going to make it across that day. But the crocodiles are going to be happy, too. They can all report back and say, we arrested one wildebeest. We all got our, you know, we're fighting the war on drugs. And it works for everybody, except that it's immoral and facilitates violence and secrecy and keeps this number one plant from being in the tax-paying economy. So it's just got to stop. And that's what I learned in Mendocino County.
Wow.
Hey, Doug, have you heard about the German marijuana activists go all Johnny Appleseed with pot?
No, tell me about that.
They were pot activists in Germany, in a small town, went and threw seeds all over the town. And so now, with the rains that just had come and the heat, it's all everything's popping up and sprouting. So they have pot plants all over this small little town, and I want to find out what the town was. Getting greener and greener, it says.
Wow.
University town. But it was just really funny just talking about the growing and things like that, but Mendocino County. Actually, I was just up there this last week, and it's very green up there.
Yeah.
It is very, very green.
Awesome. I love that.
Doug, tell us a little bit about your upcoming book.
Okay, sure. And I can talk about this a little bit tomorrow, too, at Tumbleweeds. But it's specifically on the industrial side of the plant. And I did interviews and sites all over the world, but I personally visited Hawaii and Tampa. And it was great because it was the middle of the winter. So I'm, like, all tan from Hawaii. And then I fly up to Manitoba, the Canadian prairie, and I'm, like, you know, 40 below. And but, you know, the Canadians keep me warm, just like the Tucsonians always do. So it was fun. Anyway, 8 people up there, and I just learned about the industrial cannabis plant and how it's grown and what it's grown for. And it turns out that, like, you know, your hippie roommate with the lava lamp was totally right about hemp. It's, like, that important a plant. These guys up there, they're not, like, trying to prove a political point, but they're making, you ready for this, tractors out of hemp. I'm talking about bang, bang, bang on the hood. It's made out of hemp. That's how strong the hemp fiber is.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Tractors made of hemp. Yeah. Well, Ford built the first car made of hemp. Indestructible hemp plastic. Wow.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
What that book, all the many uses of hemp and how good it's going to be for America. And it even is a little bit of a guide to farmers in America when hemp prohibition ends, hopefully this year, like what type of plant they want to grow, because it's not as easy as just scattering it in the ground, as great as that is. And indeed, the farmer, not just the one, the Germany story you told me, but in Colorado, it's similar too. Like, at this point, people are just trying to prove a point. They're just getting seeds wherever they can and scattering them. But you have to know what you're doing, because the varieties, which are called cultivars for hemp, as opposed to strains for psychoactive cannabis, the cultivars that people are growing are different. If you're growing for seed, you grow this very short, dense, seed-heavy kind, and that is the oil that we use in our morning shakes, right, and eventually in our vehicles. And then if you're growing for fiber, for clothes, paper, tractors, or better yet, for energy, you can ferment the stalks for ethanol, then you're going to be growing those huge, tall, dense hemp fields that you see you know, all over the world, and that Thomas Jefferson grew and all that good stuff. So it describes all those differences and talks about where the markets are and what you're smart to grow if you're a North Dakota farmer, a Colorado farmer. And Arizona is one of those places where climatically you guys are going to be able to grow both psychoactive and industrial cannabis when prohibition ends. So you guys have a multi-billion-dollar industry waiting for your farmers as soon as prohibition ends.
Awesome. And when do you think that's going to happen, your little opinion?
I think hemp prohibition ends this year, right now, this session in Congress. And I think cannabis prohibition ends within the next 5 years. Cannabis will be removed from the Controlled Substances Act and allow states to regulate, like, alcohol.
That's so awesome. What an amazing, wow, it's been a long time. What a long journey. But it's just changing the way that people, you know, they were led to believe one thing, a really bad thing about this incredible plant, and we're just changing the minds and opening minds and hearts to it, you know. Thank you for doing that, Doug.
My pleasure. Thank you, too. And two other things, Bellstar, about that. You said, you know, it's been a long battle. Like, the modern drug war has been about 40-plus years since Richard Nixon declared a war on drugs. But this is pretty interesting, I think. The women's vote, you know, women's suffrage, was also a 40-year struggle. Between the first state, which I think was Washington State, that granted women the right to vote, and federal constitutional amendment that allowed it, was 40 years. 40 years. So this is not the first time that a very obvious truth, a very obvious right decision for America was made. And I believe in America. It takes time to change things, but we're still this great country where the people can speak. So that's something that keeps me going when you think, oh, my God, how could something so wrong for the country, our worst policy since segregation, how could it go on for so long? Well, it's happened before, and we're winning.
Yeah, we are now. That's awesome. There's a blogger online that I think they had to leave, but they said something and it was just totally random. How do you feel about VHO and all these new band-aid ways to use cannabis, the waxes and the oils and the, you know, the butane extractions? How do you feel about those kinds of ways to use it? Because what we're seeing now, the trend is kids aren't even really appreciating the flower itself. They're just going right to these different ways of using it with little needles and, I don't know, things. Yeah, strange things.
Where's the flower?
So that's a good question. The plant is going to be utilized in a lot of ways. I mean, Wall Street's going to be doing concentrates and extractions and marketing it medically. Coors and Philip Morris type people are going to be putting, you know, mass-produced, probably pesticide-heavy joints in the corner store. Everything's going to be out there. And so I don't think that the idea of concentrates itself are a problem. Moroccans have been making hash in the hills for thousands of years. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a problem. But there are a couple of things I want to say. I'm a sustainability guy. I live on solar power, right? So I don't like the idea of anything non-organic or genetically modified being used in anything. So when you have butane, naphthene, even non-organic alcohols that are used to create any kind of tincture or infusion, you know, that's an issue. And also, it's sort of like Everclear, you know, that super concentrated grain alcohol. I don't think any of us would think that it should be illegal, but we're sitting around, you know, at the bar watching a game doing Everclear shots. You know what I mean? That's not the right way to go. And likewise, that's kind of how I feel about the waxes and the super crazy concentrates. For the average person who uses it for social lubricant or uses cannabis for a health maintenance, whatever it is, a get-together at the barbecue, you're not doing Everclear shots, and so I think probably it's not necessary to be using extreme concentrates. You're in agony from chemotherapy or a war wound in Afghanistan, that's a different story. Then you need to be using whatever works. So I don't have a problem with these things existing. I myself kind of, even though study after study shows that the smoke, cannabis smoke, not only does it damage your lung if you're a relatively occasional user, but it actually may have some protection. I myself don't like the idea of bringing smoke into my lungs. So after prohibition ends, when it's legal to use cannabis, and I might be an occasional imbiber, then I like the idea of, you know, an edible, a lozenge, an infused tincture, something along those lines, or vaporizing, where one doesn't have to put it in their lungs. So I have no problem with any way that the plant can be used, it being used, but we should really be cautious before we kind of get into the Everclear equivalents on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, there's also the other tinctures out there that are made with the vegetable glycerin and things like that, and there's definitely other ways and other healthier ways to make the tinctures, which I think people are slowly finding, being that they're doing all this education about their medicine that they're taking. They're finding different ways on how to use it and consume it and ingest it and finding it the best way for them, because for so long they were having to take a bottle of pills, which, you know, some people couldn't take pills. Some people had to sniff their pills or grind them up and put them in their food and things like that. So we're looking at this as a brand new medication for people, and we're having to find the ways on how to use it.
So. That's a really, really good point, because one of the farmers that I followed in Two Out of Fail, his name is Thomas Ballad. His father was a Hungarian freedom fighter in the 1956 Budapest Rebellion against the Soviets, and he later became a refugee, and he raised his son to do what he believes is right. And Thomas believes that growing medical cannabis for patients in an organic style and delivering it to their core is his calling. And he believes it so much that he went to Florida to work for Obama. Excuse me, I got to sneeze. In 2008, because Obama was campaigning and won the presidency on ending the drug war. That was one of his platforms. And and that was no problem, winning the presidency on that platform, even back in 2008. But so Thomas had a guy that was with him in his nonprofit collective, which is still going in California. He was not one of the farmers raided in Two Out of Fail, thank goodness, and his medicine did get to patients, including that Kashmir Kush strain, locally developed strain I was telling you about. Which worked great, by the way. I'm a liver cancer patient and on an arthritis sufferer. I'll be talking about that tomorrow night at Tumbleweeds. But So Thomas had a friend who went and took a course at this very crunchy, progressive California College of Herbal Arts, where about half the students in the herbal infusion class, cannabis people, cannabis farmers, who wanted to, just like you're saying, use organic methods to create tinctures. So there's no reason you got to use Everclear, vodka, or any kind of GMO alcohol or even vegetable oil thing, let alone something you get in a hardware store like butane or naphthenes. You can actually use like organic vodka if you need to use alcohol. I'm not a big fan. Or, as you mentioned, glycerin and kinds of natural vegetable, anything fatty will work if you know how to do it. And so he was really creating these really nice tinctures for patients. And I agree that that's a model that could really work really well for people that can't eat very well, or they need cannabis to get their appetite. Just put a little drop or two of this, kind of like it looked like big brown molasses kind of stuff, under your tongue. You know, what do they call that? Sublingually. And it works. So, yeah, that's a great method. I'm a big fan of that.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can actually get homeopathic cannabis. Order that in those little homeopathic, little white, yummy, sugary pills that you do sublingually or put in your mouth. You can actually get that now.
Well, in Arizona, it's available?
I think a doctor has to get it, but they can get them online. You can order them. There's a company, what's the one? Boron Homeopathics? I don't remember. Those little Bluetooth that you dial out, you know, your 60C and 6X and whatever you want, Arnica for bruises and stuff. You know, those little tubes that you dial. Yeah, I forget. Is it Boron? B-O-I-R-O-N. Yeah, they make it. You can find it.
That is really cool, and I didn't know that, but I shouldn't be surprised, because Chinese medicine, and, you know, there's no culture war with this in Chinese medicine. It's called Ma, M-A, in Chinese medicine. They use it for reducing delivery stress and pains in mothers-to-be, and there's no, like, you know, war on drugs, worry about it. They've been using it for thousands of years, so I shouldn't be surprised that there's homeopathy involved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really awesome. Well, we are just about at the end of our show. We always go over, but we can't tell you how excited we are to have you actually here tomorrow. So oil drive over. Go ahead.
I can't believe that this is my job. I mean, You guys are my favorite people. Tucson is one of my favorite places. It's summer. Life is good. I even gain an extra hour when I cross the border because you guys are an hour earlier than I am right now. So I can't wait to see you all. 5 p.m. Tumbleweeds tomorrow, Thursday, July 17th. I'll be signing signing copies of all my books afterwards if anybody wants to buy a copy or if you want to order them. You know, there's always Amazon and whatnot. But just I hope everyone will turn out whether or not they buy a book and hear a fun slideshow about the coming drug peace era and why it's good for America.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
We will see you tomorrow. Drive very safely over here, dust storms and all, or whatever happens along the way, borders, you know, monsoons.
I will. Thank you. And I'll see you guys sometime before 5 for setup and all that good stuff.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Doug.
Bye.
We love
you.
You. Bye.
Me too.
Bye-bye. Oh, awesome.
Wow.
Yay. Give it up for Doug. Bye.
Lots of good information again.
Yeah, tons of good information again. Wow, we don't have to go back. What? Well,
they're all recorded.
So you can all, I'm sorry about the breakup. I know it was kind of choppy. But anyway, we should probably just, it is 9 o'clock. Maybe we should wrap it up a little bit. And what do you say? What's coming up this weekend? We've got... So tomorrow, 5 to 7 o'clock, we have Doug Fine live, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard.
Bring your questions.
Bring your book. Buy a book. There's some books there for sale, so come and get those. And what's Thursday? Friday, we have, I believe, if it's not this Friday, it's going to be next Friday, where our Canada Chats with Nurse Mary Deer back. Yay! And she will be coming to chat about the ailments that Arizona approves and other things about health, all sorts of things about health cannabis. And Saturday, come to Tumbleweed. Oh, also Friday, $50 Friday. Yes, through July, maybe August. We will see. And, what else? Not this Saturday, but next.
We've got Holy Smokes coming in from... noon to 4.
Yeah.
And there'll be free sampling, and they'll be there. You guys can check out their website at holysmokes.com, HOLISMOKES, and check it out if you have any questions. We'll return on the 27th.
And they have their kit sale down at some of the center, so you can check that out.
Get sexy breasts instead of.
And what?
There you go.
How much are they down there?
$89.95. $89.95. There you go, folks. There's the deal. Actually, that's a good sale.
The most inexpensive in town.
That's right. Thank you again, Daisy MedTest, Mary Jane Survival Guide, Roday, Cancer Class, and Doug Fine. Thank you for being with us today. That was awesome. Thank you, Doug.
Woo!
Thank you, Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting Weed Day Wednesday. Remember, be smart, be safe, and educate.